Now, we get to another sort of deed construction case, and this is such an interesting case, and it's such a pleasure that we have Professor Burney here. So this case, because I think it's really interesting, it goes to sort of the history of the 1/8 royalty on which Professor Burney has written and discussed. So in this case, what we have is a deed, and the deed has a grant, a reservation of an undivided 1/2 interest in and to the oil royalty, gas royalty, and in other minerals. And note that the words oil royalty, gas royalty, and royalty in other minerals is capitalized. Now, this case revolves around a fixed or floating interest. So what does this deed grant? Is it a fixed interest whereby 1/2 of the interest the 1/16th is sort of the critical focus. It's a fixed 1/16th interest. This is what the lessee argues. Or is it a floating interest? The lease at the time is a 1/5 royalty. And so if it's a floating sort of interest, then it would be 1/2 of 1/5, 1/10. That's what the lessor argues. The lessor argues it's obvious that this is a 1/2 of royalty. The royalty currently is 1/5, so I get a 10th. Conversely, what the paying party argues is that this is a fixed 1/16th royalty interest. And so who has to pay this NPRI, and what do we pay on this NPRI, this non-participating royalty interest owner? And the court sort of focuses on the language of the instrument, this 1/2 of the interest in and all the minerals. And the Supreme Court says, well, we think they're saying it's a 1/2 of the royalty, and the royalty is 1/5. So this sounds like a floating interest. Now, under the canons of contract interpretation, of deed interpretation, what does that do to the last part of the sentence? We don't just construe an instrument such that it renders other parts of the grant meaningless. So what about this part that says the same being equal to the 1/16th of production? How do you reconcile that part? The court says, we're going to say it's an example. It's illustrative. It's an illustrative purpose of what the grantor meant. So at the time of the grant in 1951, this oil royalty, gas royalty, and royalty, it was the usual royalty, the 1/8. The beauty of the 1/8 royalty was that was the customary royalty that was given in leases at that time. And so the Texas Supreme Court is saying, we think that this is an example. So at the time of the grant, they said, we're going to give you 1/2 of the lease royalty. In this case, the lease royalty is 1/8, so you get a 1/16th interest. Now, there's really sort of interesting arguments on sort of both sides here, because it's a capitalized term. It's capitalized oil royalty, gas royalty, and royalty in other minerals. It's not small, like a lowercase royalty. So the idea of capitalization in contract drafting and contract interpretation usually means that there's some accorded meaning to that term. So what about the accorded meaning to that term? Was there some defined term that was not put in a type of definitions? Because it was so common. So that is the sort of deconstruction of the oil royalty, gas royalty, and royalty in other minerals case. And the going back to the importance of comma placements, the court focuses on the comma placement here and says that where this comma placement is in this sort of second clause here, comma, the same being equal to 1/16th of the production, going back to Brian Garner's Red Book, says that gives it it's a non-restrictive dependent clause which gives additional description or information that is incidental, not conditional. So it's an incidental descriptive clause. Now, as somebody whose one English course in engineering was technical writing for dummies, this is just really frightening. So know what your commas are doing in your deed construction. All right, this is a really neat case. It's about It's kind of a farm out, a sort of cautionary tale of when is it better to try to be efficient and put all your contracts together, and when is it probably better to have separate contracts for sort of separate actions. So what we have here is Dimmick farms out to Sutherland. To Sutherland Energy. It's a kind of a typical farm out. Go out, you need to drill a holding well, and you can make twice back your costs, and then at payout. So our use of the word payout, we at payout, then the original farmer, the party that gave the farm out, has the option to back in, and I don't know if it was an option in this case, but backs in for a 51% interest. And unlike some of the farmee retaining an ownership interest, here the remainder 49% was going to be given to several charities.